Hey, we can't start the show yet, man. The Red Letter Band is still... Get your asses out of here, man.
Hey, one of these guys is a sheriff.
It's 6
something.
O'clock.
I'm going to have him haul you
at
to jail.
At 6 o'clock, Strip. I'm in charge. You guys boogie now. Hell of a job.
Yeah, I mean, great
that was
job,
really,
guys.
Really
great
good. Thanks. That's the Red Letter Band on the Homegrown Show, and they'll be here next week as well from 5 to 6. You get a chance, tune in, because it's well worth listening to. The Red Letter Band. Thanks, guys. I tell you, there's some talent out there. Hey, Boom, how are you, buddy?
You know what? I'm doing pretty good, Stru. I mean, again, happy Sunday to the land of 10,000 lakes.
Four outdoorsmen
on Bob Country.
Yeah.
We are in the middle of ice fishing season, and it looks like the cold temperatures are finally here to stay for a while. It looks like everything's consistently been below 32 degrees, so that's pretty exciting. A lot of ice fishing going on. I'm still a little jet-lagged from walleye wars, though. I'll be honest with you. You know, I had that cold out there, and then we were out on the ice filming for a few days. And my buddy Tanner, our fifth outdoorsman, sent me a couple pictures. He had some nice walleyes he just caught. But the latest numbers from walleye wars were 16 million people that reached.
God, isn't that cool?
So what I'm excited for is how we can do something like that during the open water season.
Why don't they just pay you $1 for every person reached, and then you should be fine, right?
A penny. I'll take a penny.
I'll take half a penny.
Greed is a terrible thing.
But, you know, so that was pretty exciting stuff to hear. And then, you know, you guys were at the Minnesota Sportsman Show, so it'll be interesting to hear what you guys thought about that. I've been there so many years with Here's My Gear, Blue 42, the Four Outdoorsmen, Ticket Outdoors. So the Sinanco boys, Sinanco Productions, they do a nice job with that show. They also put on the show in Sioux Falls and in Fargo and in St. Cloud as well. And just kind of gear it up, you know. I'm excited still for ice fishing season. You know, Ice Team University is going to be coming up here down the pipeline, I believe, in February.
Where's it going to be?
I think it's at Arneson's up on Lake of the Woods, speaking of the devil. So we'll be headed up there. And then we have our trip for the Four Outdoorsmen, and we have a couple special guests. Eric, who's one heck of a stick. Mike, your son, who's one heck of a stick. And they're going to be coming with us. We're going to go up to Devil's Lake on the 28th of January. And then after that, guys... We've got a couple other trips we got to squeeze in there. We talked to John Sibley, fishing with Guy up in the Ooper part of Michigan there for those big perch. He's invited us to come up there this year again. So if we get the time zone right on my clock and we don't get a windy day, we want to get up there again. And then,
but if it's windy, Mark and I go to Hurley. Is that the name of the town, Hurley?
Yep.
We're going there, pal.
Gangster town.
That's where we're
going.
I
had one of the best steaks of my life in Hurley, but it took about 2 hours to get. You remember that?
Hey, I remember that.
And you were really hungry. That's why
it
tasted
very
so good. Yeah.
And then the other thing is, you know.
Speaking of hungry, how were those chicken wings you just had?
They were fantastic. I know you listen, Diana, and... You make the best chicken parmesan wings ever. Brandon agrees, too. The best chicken parmesan wings you could ever possibly
they
make.
They really are.
Can I give a shout-out to Diana,
you
too?
You sure can.
Diana, Stru even shared one with me. I caught them early. I could smell those things, and they are absolutely wonderful. So
I told
Diana,
if we were younger, we should have a booth at the State Fair.
Yeah,
and
you
could sell them for $1 a piece, couldn't you? Something
you could
like
put
that.
Put it in a cone
$2
or something.
A piece.
Ooh, boy, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Chocolate covered Parmesan chicken wings.
You know the.
No, they are wonderful. Thanks, sweetheart.
You know the other trip I want us to look at doing, Stru, and producer Mark and I were talking about this is, you know, we also talk about the sister lakes or rivers of the Minnesota River, out on the South Dakota border, which is Lake Traverse and Big Stone, and our friend out there, Todd at Wing and Fing Resort. And they have an amazing bite going on out in that part of the country. I've heard it from several sources. I think Carney posted some pictures on social media about it. I even heard about it out in Devil's Lake a little bit. So I think we're going to have to do a trip out to Traverse Big Stone area and see if we can visit our friend Todd, too. So there's still a lot in the queue for ice
What are you doing next
season.
Weekend, Stu?
Yeah.
I could look right now, but I know I could probably go someplace. I have to ask my wife, Diana, because I just came back from 5 days in Arizona. And just came back yesterday, mid-afternoon, talking about jet lag. And then, so we had a great time out there as well. So I think I better...
Well, we just complimented her. So
oh, there you
I mean,
go.
Yeah.
Well, then I'm going.
There's something. Well, I have to give a shout-out to recognize my man to the right, Stru Man, because a lot of these great guests that we get to talk about, Stru Man is hitting the phone, his feet are on the pavement, stirring it up, and you've got a couple good guests for us tonight, don't you, Stru?
I do. I've got Evie Gebhardt, and she's with the Outdoor News, and she's going to be she'll be our second guest, actually, but she's going to be talking about the roundtable, the DNR roundtable that she was just at this Friday, a little bit, and recruiting youth into the outdoors, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
She's been with Outdoor News for many, many years. We saw her at the at the Sportsman Show today.
And why is the round table so significant for our listeners, Drew?
Because it's a whole bunch of people. I think there was like 300 people or something get together every year.
Yep.
And they're all different kinds. A lot of invite, a lot of big shots. As a matter of fact, this year, I think the who was the
Sarah
big shot?
Sarah Strana, isn't she the new DNR commissioner?
Yeah, she was there, I believe.
Yep.
And which was one of the first times, from what I understand, and trying to mend fences and keep things going properly. And so they talk about what we can do to make 2019 better than it was in 2018 for hunting and fishing in the state of Minnesota. And so a lot of heads getting together, that's a big deal. And I want to talk to you about Alaska as well, because she was born and raised there, spent many, many years, I don't know about born there, but spent a lot of time in Alaska. At 6:12, we got a young man. The Flying Fisherman's going to be on for a couple minutes.
The Flying Fisherman?
I mean, the Flying
the
Fisherman.
The Fishing Fireman?
Flying Fisher, yeah, the Fishing Fireman. Gary Benson's going to be on for a couple minutes.
And let me add a note to our listeners about Gary Benson, too, Stru. I know we have a lot of friends on the show that have a really great understanding of Mille Lacs. Tony Roach is a friend of the show. Scott Moe with Appledorns. We have Jordan Dahl with McCoyd's.
We got Boomer Stelmack.
You're dialed in Mille Lacs lately.
You know, this was my best year on Mille Lacs, but Mark Schutz with Izades. And Mark is also slamming some crappies on Minnetonka. So there's a little bit of a fishing report there. If you're interested in catching some big crappies on Minnetonka, Mark's got them dialed in. But your friend, Gary Benson, you know, I got to the first time we've had him on the show a couple times, and I'll never forget at Ice Team U, I think it was last year when I was catching catfish on the horseshoe chain, a gentleman came up to me and showed me some pictures of some walleyes, and he goes, "This is the
fishing fireman
guy." And I was like, "Oh, well, we know that guy." But this guy is fun, and he's not necessarily a guide or a pro, but Mille Lacs is a lake that how many days does he spend on that lake?
I'm guessing easily 100 days a year on that lake, easily. And he has to understand the only reason he's going to be on tonight is because we couldn't reach any of the guys you were just talking
That's
about.
That's true. But stay tuned to this guy.
I got to be honest with you. We got a random note from somebody unrelated that said, "You need more of the fishing fireman. He knows his stuff." Honestly, we got a note to the, and that was before we announced he's going to be on. So he has his own cult following, I guess.
And then we got a guy named Jim Kempen. Jim's
Krennic is
going to be talking about coyote hunting, and he's from Montgomery, Minnesota, someplace down there. And we can talk about, he's just started actually, so we're going to talk about that as well. What do you got, Mark?
I got a lot of shout outs today. If you go to the Four Outdoorsman Facebook page, comment in the shout-out section. We have a whole bunch, a lot of them from Mille Lacs here. Our friend Chris Davis says, looking forward to another great show, and he says the wings sound delicious.
Oh, my wife's Parmesan rings with the Flying Fisherman.
Every Christmas party at the Straczynski's.
Yes, you do.
Our friends the Zeiss say hello from the Zeiss family. Great Saturday night and Sunday afternoon on Mille Lacs. Couple of tulipy for the smoker.
Ooh.
Even picked up a slot eye, the mystical slot there on Mille Lacs. Late night, the eyes were on the bite. 10 fish in just a few hours between last night and today. Our friend John Marshall was on Mille Lacs with his beautiful wife, Bridget. We met them. Where did we meet them? At Bowstring. Bowstring, that's
up at
right.
Geiger's, yep. Good friends, Bill and Aaron up there.
Our friends at the Minnesota Outdoorsman Facebook page say hello. Michael Rydell says, "Love listening in. Was out chasing panfish last week. Was an awesome bite." Friends at Deadshot Custom Call Company were in Lake Winnipeg this weekend, so hello to them.
Greenbacks.
And Daniel Meyer posted, "Tony Thiessen got a group out with Hometown Hero Outdoors this weekend." So thanks, everyone, for writing in. I think I got another one. And Corey from the What's Working Now Facebook page says, "Full report to come on What's Working Now Facebook page. Enjoy your show, as always."
Hey, hang on a second. Talking about Deadshot Custom Calls, Brian, who is the head guru there, was nice enough to donate a beautiful custom-made duck call. I don't want to mention the name of the duck call.
It's all right.
Well, it's Crown Royal is what it is. You know, it's beautiful. And donated a bottle of Crown Royal for the Wildwood Lions Sportsman's Dinner. It's going to be like an auction item or something like that.
You got Dad and I's tickets reserved,
right?
Oh,
I tell you what. And it is gorgeous. And I tell you what, Brian, that Crown Royal tastes really good. Really good.
You had to test it before you give it away.
No,
right?
he's the real deal. We really appreciate that support there. A couple of shout-outs here. I want to say hi to a guy named Scott Nadel. Scott Nadel, Mark and I met today at the sports show downtown at the River Center. He lives near Mark, and he saw my shirt, the Four Outdoorsman shirt. And he said, "Hey, are you one of the friend of the big guy on there?" I said, "Why?" "Well, I live in Lionel Lakes, and I drive down the street every once in a while, not too far from him." And the garage was open, and he saw the Four Outdoorsman, both the the 1974 Seaspring. He says, "Do you guys use that for floats or what? No, for parades."
Parades. Yeah, he thought it was a parade. Yeah. I'm like, "Nope, I actually have to fish in that."
Yeah.
Thing.
So he said, "We say hi to him, Scott. Thanks for mentioning it, and we're listening to the show all the time." And we might have met a young guy and his fiance, Dusty Wolf. I met him on the airplane yesterday. His fiance's name is Sarah. And he happened to sit right next to me. What's cool about it, he was 26 years old. He's a young Billy Moles, and he's been guiding in Arizona for 3 years for black bear, coyote, bobcat, and mountain lion.
Boy, I just don't think of that when I
He's 26 years old, and he was on the way back home to get his own dogs and bring him back to Arizona. And Dusty and Sarah, thanks for the conversation. We're going to try to get you on next week. I want to hear all about your career as a guide
that
in Arizona.
That would be
And where is he from originally?
He's from Mankato.
Yeah.
See, I'm from Mankato. And he's just like Billy Moles, says, I'm just going to jump off the bridge, and I'm going for it. And he loves it, and they're building life together.
I need to give a shout-out to my boys who are listening with my wife, April, Max, and Nick. Right now they're studying. We got from Evie, Outdoor News, we got a big picture of all the fish in Minnesota. So they've been studying that the whole day.
Oh, boy.
So hello, Max. Hello, Nick. I love you, and be good for Mama.
There'll be a test tomorrow.
I tell you what, Stru, I am really impressed, because with your Bob Country shirt that you're wearing, you have Stru stitched in
there. That's me, pal. People know who I am.
First man. I mean, that is the way to go. I tell you what, so we're going to be talking some coyote hunting. We got the round table. We're going to be talking Mille Lacs. You know, when we think of ice fishing and we think of safety, I just want to remind everyone out there that I know we've had some colder temps out there, but just make sure to be safe, you know. There's still some accidents that can happen. You know, stay away from the thin ice stuff. If you're nearing some ice where there's some tributaries or stuff like that, just keep safe. You know, I want to say that a lot because there's been some things that have happened over the last couple of years, and I just want to remind our audience.
Not an old listener, but a listener we had on a year or two ago or something, Will Goebel. He's a trap shooting coach for Matamita High School. He's shouting out, and he said, "Hey, Stru, just saying hello from my dad and me. We're out on Big Marine right now, we're catching some walleye."
That's up by our neck of the woods.
Right, on Big Marine.
The UPL's been out there, too. Remember, we had Matt Johnson. That's one of their stops. So we have, it's true, it's 6:13. Don't we have the flying fisherman on?
The flying fisherman. No, the fishing fireman. Gary Benson, are you there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you doing?
We're doing well, Gary. Gary's on Mille Lacs right now. He likes to call in every once in a while and give us a report. And, hey, let me ask you this. I think if you heard the first part of the show at all, the guys asked me approximately how many days a year do I think you were on Mille Lacs or someplace fishing, and I said probably at least 100. Am I correct?
Oh, you're in the ballpark, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You bet.
Yeah.
Well, Gary, I know you're going to be giving us a fishing report on Mille Lacs, but I'm going to throw a question at you right now. It seemed this summer, and you know, I took the kids out to Mille Lacs, and we had a good time fishing for walleyes up on the north end on some of the earlier ice when there was about 8.5-10 inches out there. It seems like in the winter right now, that bite really heats up in Mille Lacs during the morning and the evening, and it kind of holds true for Devil's Lake, where during the open water season we can catch them all the time during the day, but the bite really is magical during the hard water season during the morning and the evening. So my question to you, the fishing fireman, is are you seeing that the bite is hotter right now in Mille Lacs in the morning and the evening, and why do you think that is during the ice fishing season versus the open water season?
Well, it definitely is better, like you said, in the morning and evening. But we've been catching quite a few during the day now. But I think the big reason that is the water is so clear right now that, you know, the fish don't get they get spooked during the day when they see all that stuff out here when it's bright, you know, and then all that sun coming through the ice. But, no, I mean, right now, though, I mean, it's been really good all day long, too. It'd be even better if we could get out to the flats, but we haven't been able to yet because there's a pressure ridge, and there's not a bridge to get across to it yet.
Why no bridge?
Well, I usually go across at Garrison Sports, and he likes 18 inches of ice to put his bridge out, and there's only a little over 16 right now, so he won't put his bridge out. But if you have a snowmobile, you could zip across it, but we spent 2 hours on Wednesday trying to get across it, and we caught with four-wheelers because our wheels would have dropped right in that pressure crack.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, Gary, the flats on the west end of the lake are really a favorite of mine, and they were really productive this year during the open water season where we did some, you know, some donation trips for charities and fishing with friends or different media events. But isn't there a pressure ridge that typically shows up there on the western part of the lake that kind of cuts you off from Sherman's and some of those other flats on the western side of the lake?
Oh, yeah. Every year there's a damn crack out there. And it gets, you know, I get a snowmobile or I ran into a walleye Dan on Wednesday going out there, and he's got that, whatever you call
snow
that
bear.
Thing he drives. Yeah, he just went right across the crack, you know, and it's like, dang it, I got to get one of those things, you know.
So, Gary, where are you fishing at, and what are you doing to catching the fish? You don't have to tell us exactly, but give our listeners some intel so they can go out there and crack on some of those beautiful walleyes on Mille Lacs right now.
Oh, we're out of Rocky Reef right now in the southwest corner, and, yeah, fishing is unbelievable here. You know, at nighttime, don't plan on getting any sleep because they keep you up all night long out here on the rock.
Wow.
Today we've been catching quite a few jigging, but usually it's just you're jigging and it must just bring them in and then you're catching them on your rattle reels. But this afternoon, evening now, we've caught five just jigging. Oh, one on a tip up. I take it back. One on a tip up outside. But, and just, you know, plain hook and the sucker minnows have been the secret for the rattle reels and the tip ups.
Well, I saw, Gary, that you guys caught a couple nice big pike out there. Are you catching them on the rocks as well, or do you move around to get those big pike?
Nope, right on the rocks here, and we're pretty shallow here, and we're catching them on our rattle reels with just sucker minnows on.
Well, last I had heard from our friend Marky Schutz is that, you know, the Whatcom Bay area was pretty popular early ice for perch. Is that still the case right now? Is there any perch, or the perch moved out to the rocks?
Well, like I said, we're fishing shallow, so I don't see any big perch here. But earlier in the week, we were fishing up on the north end on that first break. There was about 16 and lots of perch, but little ones. I only see those big perch when I get out to the flats out in the, you know, 31, you know, roughly 30 feet of water. Uh-huh. Then we'll see the bigger perch out there. But in the shallows, no. But you know what's really weird this year is I've never caught eel pout during the day. And I never caught it where in that first break. But this year, it's unbelievable. During the day, in the shallow waters, we're catching so many eel pout, it's unbelievable. I mean, I don't know what's going on, if they're just coming back big time or what, but eel we're just like, oh, no, it's another eel pout.
Good eating, man. You keep those suckers?
Yeah.
He doesn't keep
I
them.
Don't. I don't know how to – I've never cleaned them or ate them, but I heard they're really good if you know how.
Oh, boil them in Sprite is what they tell me.
Yeah, you just take the loins out of the back and you boil them in
Poor
Sprite.
Poor man's lobster.
Yes, it is. Hey, Gary,
I'd have a lot of food to eat right now if I kept those.
You got to boil them in Sprite and drink about four Jack Daniels. Then they'll taste good, I guess, right?
They're so nasty, too. It's true. I sent you a video when I screamed like a girl when I caught one, right?
I saw that, yeah.
I would, too, man. Yeah.
Gary, we've got about a minute left, so I got to ask you a couple more technical questions. You say you're fishing shallow. Can you give us a range of feet of water? And then on your jigs, is there any certain color? Are they making noise that seem to be spiking the bite better than other colors, or...?
Well, we're fishing about 12 feet right now, and I've been catching them today on the macho minnow, red and pink, and my
Ooh,
buddy Jeff.
Yeah,
my
the
buddy
macho
Jeff
minnow.
Macho.
Look where it looks like
Jeff, big time. He's been digging a rabbit.
Come on,
Walleye,
give me a bite.
I think he's bringing them in to me because he's not getting them, but I am. So I kind of like that.
I wonder if Randy Savage had to pay, like, you know, what if they had to pay him rights for the macho minnow, you know? They got the little headband on him for
yeah,
the special UV.
Yeah, tell you what, Gary, no, this is, we're going to have to get you out to Devil. Have you fished Devil's Lake before? We got to wrap this up, but have you fished Devil's Lake?
No, I've never been there yet.
One of these days, we take one of our trips out there. You got to come along with us, all right? How does that sound?
Oh,
we'll have a lot of fun.
That'd be fun. That'd be fun.
All right, buddy. Tub, we'll let you go. You go have a great night. Be safe out there. Catch a few fish. And hopefully I'll see you Thursday morning at the ballpark, all right?
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
Gary.
Have fun, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Really good guess there, Stroop. Plugging the macho minnow. Who's coming up after break, brother?
We've got Evie Gebhardt, and she's going to be talking about the DNR roundtable that she was at. And that was on Friday, I think, so not a whole lot of news as to what happened yet. But I'm looking forward to that. She's been with Outdoor News for a long, long time. Yeah. So are we ready for a break yet?
I think so.
I think we're ready for a break. Brandon, you going to play some music? Hey!
Yeah. We'll be right back with Effie Gebhardt, DNR Roundtable. She's with the Outdoor News. Take care, everybody.
Checking in with the four outdoorsmen. Find them at mybobcountry.com under the weekend tab.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
Crystal Welding is ready for winter. Are you? Bring your fish house to Crystal Welding for bent axle repair, frozen pivots, bearing service, broken springs, or any welding repair needs on your fish house. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your one-stop shop for all of your welding needs. Stop in to schedule or go to crystalwelding.com for more information. That's crystalwelding.com.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. Your job's too small because we do it all.
Today, business happens here, here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at usps.com/future.
At CarMax, when we say we buy all the cars, we mean it. Over the last 20 years, we've purchased millions of cars from coast to coast. In the last year alone, we bought a mountain of Mercuries, an armada of Nissans, a ton of Titans, an ocean of Pacificas, and a sea of Siennas. Not to mention a few Hellcats and a couple of Tornadoes. So no matter what you're selling, CarMax is buying. And we'll buy your car even if you don't buy ours. CarMax. We buy all the cars.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, Stu Man back here with the Four Outdoorsmen. Our buddy Boomer, I think, just went to the bathroom. You know how that goes.
Yep.
He's like an old man, isn't he? He's always going to the bathroom. And Mark Luke is over there. Buddy Mark, how are you doing, pal?
I'm doing great. I'm excited for our next guest, Evie. We saw her down today at the sports show, and it's probably a long day for her.
Oh, it's got to be a long day. You know, he's on your feet for 10 hours for 4 days in a row or something like that. It's a long day.
Mark's, oh, I got one more shout-out quick before we get into our interview. Allie, our friend, and Mike Farrell said they're on their way back from South Dakota. Great weekend full of huge gills, and I see a picture there. We should try gills in South Dakota sometime. Those look huge. Let's do it.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right.
Let's go tomorrow.
Okay.
Evie, are you there, my friend?
I am.
Boy, you even sound all... After all these 4 days at the sports show down at the River Center downtown St. Paul, on your feet for 10 hours, whatever, you sound like you have a lot of energy. How do you do that?
You know, that is a great event, and it's great to get to interconnect with our community out there and hear what hunters and anglers are doing and what they're excited about. And I had the privilege to be talking to a lot of youth. And so if you can't get excited about youth that are interested in hunting and fishing, there's something wrong with you.
You know, you must have probably the most popular booth out there because everyone loves the outdoor news. And I was there 5 minutes watching you and talking with you a little bit, and people were coming up signing for subscriptions and whatnot. And as a matter of fact, today, I got the email from you guys because you're always on my back, and I just renewed my 2-year subscription with the Outdoor News. So it's a popular booth. It must be a lot of fun.
It is, and kudos for subscribing.
Oh,
Me too.
Well, I had to get another hat. You know, I got you subscribe, you get a hat.
You do have sweet hats. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Hey, but let's talk about before we talk about the DNR roundtable. By the way, that's Mark Lukey, of course, and Boomer's here in the middle.
Hey, Abby, thanks for joining us on the show tonight.
I'm happy to be here, folks.
Let's talk about the Outdoor News. How long have you been with the Outdoor News? And then we'll talk about the show you have coming up in March. But how long have you been with the Outdoor News, and how did your career start there?
Well, I've been with Outdoor News a little over 5 years, and I came to Outdoor News with a publishing background, largely derived in the state of Alaska, where I lived for about 25 years.
Wow.
So you didn't come here just to work for the Outdoor News. You did not leave Alaska just to come to Minnesota to work for the Outdoor News, did you?
No, I actually am born and raised a Minnesota farm girl, and came back to spend some time with family. The mountains in Alaska will always be there, but my family won't.
Oh, well, that's well said, man.
Good
that's
line,
well said.
Abby. Good line. Yeah.
What did you do in Alaska? What was your career in Alaska? Publishing?
Publishing, Alaska Magazine, a really well-known publication up there, and different community newspapers. I also ran a fishing lodge up there.
God, you're a busy young lady, man. You're the perfect wife.
Hey, I am single, I will tell you.
There we go.
There you go.
He just needs to have a truck and a boat, you know. That's all my
Can we take calls for you? Because the phone lines are lighting up.
Yeah, Brandon's having trouble keeping up with it, Evie, right now.
Well, I'm lucky because my wife believes in bigamy, so I'm home free, pal.
Evie, what's your favorite species to go fishing for?
You know, I am really a panfish angler. I do like to eat fish, you know, and there's a lot of enjoyment in some of the walleye and some of the deep water fish. But it is really just that, for me, it's just, you know, go home afternoon, throw a rod out or line out, and you know, if you get dinner for my dad, that's great. That's my goal.
All right, one more plug for the. Oh, go. You got something, Boone?
Oh, no, I'm just looking at your notes.
Oh,
here,
there's not enough there. One more plug for the outdoor news. What's the? You got a gig coming up here in March? Tell us about that.
We do. We have the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic happening again. It's going to be on March 8th, 9th, and 10th at the State Fairgrounds at the Coliseum. Big event again this year.
I think it's a wonderful medium. It's a wonderful place to have that event. It's perfect.
We do bring in a lot of antlers to that event. You know, there's free antler scoring for our hunters here in Minnesota. So if they harvested a trophy buck this season, they should bring that in. And then we've got a couple of great celebrities. We've got Tom Miranda with Adventure Bow Hunter, Laramie, the Sasquatch, Miller, he's with that Last of the Breed program. And then that fan favorite, Melissa Bachman, will be back again this year, too.
Yeah, we'll probably have her on the air when we get there. Go ahead, Mark.
Now, I'll tell you, Evie, you give us kind of a big head, because last year in the outdoor news to promo the show, you had us listed under celebrities.
That's right.
That's a dangerous thing to do.
Did we get to be there again, Evie?
With a photograph.
That's it. I'm going to come up and ask for your autograph.
Hey, did we get Evie a new photograph? Didn't they need a new photograph?
Oh, yeah, I got to get her that. But,
we gotta get that.
First time I've ever been called a celebrity, so thank you very much.
Yeah. We want to encourage folks, you know, make sure they go to the mndeerclassic.com and get a $2 off coupon for admission and check out all the different seminars and exhibitors and celebrities that'll be there.
Evie, is there any chance the guy that shot the big buck in Howard County who had the Make America Great hat on and he had his lawn chair on display, is he going to be there again?
You know, that would be great. I don't know for sure if he will be. That is such an awesome story, isn't it?
Oh, man. I tell you what, getting a chance to meet him and have him on air, that was just a hoot. Yeah, I showed up about 3 o'clock. Shot my big buck at 3:15, walked up, you know, put the cane down. Sounds like my dad when he shot that big turkey on
Travers.
Funny,
boy. It's funny. Hey, let's get down to business a little bit. Friday, I think you went to the DNR roundtable. Am I correct?
I did. But, yeah. You know, I am only one of several members of the Outdoor News team that had seats at the table. And I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't say, you know, for what you really need to find out, you need to open the pages of Outdoor News.
Yep.
Because that's where the guts of what really happened at that very intensive day down in Bloomington on Friday.
Well, you just made Rob Driesling so proud with that comment, Evie. Really good answer.
Good. But, you know, what I was there for was I wanted to learn more about what is the state doing in terms of their R3, that's the Recruit, Retain, Reactivate initiative that they've done, and what's happening with mentoring, because those are important to me with what we're doing with the Junior Pro Team and initiating things for youth. And it was very exciting to see what they're doing to try to engage Latino communities and the need for mentoring. They need mentors seriously, folks. So if you have any skill or talent to bring to the table, the Minnesota DNR and our hunting legacy needs your help.
You mentioned that going to the meet. Was that the first time that you were ever at the round table, even though you weren't there for the whole thing, I don't believe. But was that your first time?
It was. I've been involved in some of those in similar capacities up in Alaska before, but not at the Minnesota one.
You were saying that it was kind of intense. Explain why.
Well, I think there's a lot of very important initiatives at the table. You know, we've got the chronic wasting disease, we've got the invasive species, but I will say that underscoring the whole day was a very much a collaborative environment that people are saying, we all have needs, but we need to work together. And that's from the top down throughout all the rank and file folks.
Evie, you know, Did the new DNR commissioner, was she able to attend this roundtable?
She was heavily engaged. The governor was there. The new commissioner of agriculture was there as well. So, yes, she was very involved from front end to the final closing remarks.
So Sarah was there, and then Governor Waltz. Is it usual for a governor to be at a roundtable?
Actually, I understand that's rather unusual.
Well, that's actually pretty cool. We had Governor Waltz on our show when they were going through the election process.
Right.
And I didn't know that he was a farm kid from southern Minnesota that loved a pheasant hunt. So it's really cool to see in his first period of office, if that's the right term to use, Strewman, that he was engaged in the roundtable. When you said the governor, my ears kind of perked, Evie. That's actually pretty cool.
Well, I think it's rare. I think that they're finally trying to reach out. They're trying to almost like mend fences. Say, okay, we're all in this together. Is that the feeling you're getting?
Very much so. And I think that it really recognized the power and the voice that sportsmen have in the state of Minnesota as well.
Let's talk a little bit more about recruiting youth. How are you involved in that?
Well, I'm very involved with the Outdoor News Junior Pro Team. And what we saw, and really the ownership of Outdoor News is behind this 150% to say, we recognize that we are losing hunters and anglers, and we have another generation that we need to make sure are as passionate about the outdoors as we are, and got behind it with the Junior Pro Team and said, you know, we might not know what we're doing fully, but let's do something. And it's a program that right now is sharing photos and tips and giving information to kids that are already heavily engaged in the outdoors in the hopes that other kids will see that and say, wow, that's the cool kids club. I want to jump on board with that. And that's that I get to be at the helm of that. How exciting.
Evie, do you see anything happening, you know, when it comes to like high school sports? You know, trap shooting has really exploded over the last 5-ish years.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing fishing teams starting to spur up all over the state of Minnesota. Is there anything like that for archery in high school sports?
There's somewhat, and you know, 4-H has had an archery program for years that's kind of run under the radar. And I see more of these things coming to fruition. The public is getting behind it because maybe the parent hadn't done it and the kid expresses an interest in it. We see that quite a bit with the shooting sports league, that the parent never was out doing any trap shooting, and now you've got this youth that's very proficient at it.
You mentioned the Junior Pro Team. Explain what the Junior Pro Team is.
Again, that's the Outdoor News Junior Pro Team. It's a free program. You can get a lot of information at jrproteam.com. We do a lot with photos. We had probably over 500 kids. We did a photo contest recently, and you're seeing kids that are harvesting turkey, deer, kids that are trapping. Maybe they're out just small game hunting for rabbits, and they are sharing tips with us. You know, we had a couple of fellows with Juice Bait Company. These are young kids that started a bait company and are working it. So that is pretty cool to see that happening.
What are the kind of goals have you got as far as youth? Are you seeing a growth? Are you happy with the growth with youth in the outdoors?
I'm never happy with it. We can always do better. All of us can do better. We can, you know, I will tell you folks, my introduction to ice fishing happened because one of my classmates, when I was a junior in high school, invited me to go ice fishing. So each one of us has the capacity to influence someone else in the great outdoors. And that's what we see the vision of being. Maybe we're developing a community of mentors with the Junior Pro Team.
I like that. I even see it, Evie, on social media that the Outdoor News is now more active socially. And when they post those pictures of the kids from the Junior Pro Team,
yeah,
it's really, really cool because I think that can be contagious, right, to other kids that are on social and seeing those pictures, seeing them getting some notoriety. So really a big kudos to you guys at Outdoor News for doing that.
Well, thank you. And please help spread the word. It's completely free. We're just vested in it because we want to help grow the sport in the future.
Are there any programs going on right now or coming up soon that you'll be involved with where the kids can get involved, and how do they reach you or reach somebody who can help them get involved?
Well, they could get a hold of us through the Outdoor News Junior Pro Team, and that's where they can sign up on there. They can look for us on social media. We're heavily engaged in Instagram, and they can also go on Facebook and find us there as well.
JRProTeam.com, I think, is how you're going to go. Go ahead, Boom.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, Evie, before we let you go, we just got a couple minutes left here. Can you share some information on where folks can learn more about the sports show that's coming up?
Sure. The Minnesota Deer and Turkey Classic, they should just visit mndeerclassic.com. Or, for crying out loud, folks, open up the Outdoor News.
It's there.
On it in there. Come
it's
on.
There.
And the nice thing about it, it's at the State Fair Coliseum, right?
You all know where the State Fair is. And right. It's free parking.
Free parking is huge.
Free parking is big.
Free parking.
And it's right by Mark's favorite booth, the all the milk you can drink for $14, whatever it is these days.
It might be a little frozen milk right now, but you're familiar with it, folks.
Evie, take care of yourself. Thanks for supporting the Four Outdoorsmen, and thanks for the Outdoor News. I'm telling you, it's my Bible, and I'm with it. I'm 100% on board. We'll talk to you soon. We're looking forward to seeing you in March as well at the Coliseum, all right?
All righty. Thanks for the time.
You bet. Take care, young lady.
Very cool. Well, we have another shout-out here. We have tons of them. Nicholas Hansen says, my daughter Shelby, with one of her many walleyes she caught in Mille Lacs, and she's only 4.5 years old. So great picture there. Man, it looks like Mille Lacs is a place to be this weekend.
Yeah, it's been on fire.
Sweet. What else is going on,
did
guys?
Did you mention Allie?
I did.
Hands? You got Allie in there,
you were
too?
You running away. And I was running away because Stru spilled his entire drink on his notes.
But it wasn't a drink. It's tea. It's pure leaf tea.
Pure leaf tea. Stru, right. I don't think I've ever seen you spill any beverage on your notes.
I'm usually pretty good.
If listeners don't know, Stru always comes with a notepad of about 3 pages of notes on every guest, why Mark and I are over here playing on our phones, kind of winging it a little bit from people that we know. So for you to spill on your notes and keep your composure, A-plus job.
And Jim Krennic and Evie are now in the trash right behind me. So I've got to wing it. We get Jim on after the next break. I have to wing it. Here's what's happening with me. And right after the show, the reason that the Parmesan chicken wings were made by my beautiful wife, Diana, is that we've got a Polish Palace meeting at my house right after the show. So I've got to be there.
Oh, man, I wish I could be a fly on the wall for that.
Yeah,
so
there's going to be 5 of us sitting down talking about what to do about 2019, and do we make any changes, what kind of improvements we want to do. And Diana made the chicken wings, and that's what it's going to be in about half an hour.
Speaking of the Polish Palace and thinking of Deer Camp, and these folks on are sponsor of ours, but I got to give them a plug. I took the family to this escape room called The Shack. And it's ran by this Mystery Chambers in Elk River. And you're stuck in a deer camp. And the whole story is that the guy is kind of a goofball, Stru. He's a little bit like you, likes to have a lot of fun. So he gives you a laxative. And that's your engagement or your inspiration to get out of the room in the hour is you got to get out to go to the bathroom.
No, that's
so
funny.
You spend an hour trying to figure out all these clues. And so that just reminded me of your story right there that you're going to be doing the Polish Palace.
That is funny. I've read about this place. I didn't know anything about what it was. It a good time?
It was a blast. In fact, the kids, my wife, Nicole and Cole and then Sophia, we solved it. You usually get 60 minutes with these escape rooms. We solved it with 32 seconds left.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The final clue is in the outhouse in the deer camp.
Oh, fun. That sounds like
and
something.
It involves a black light and a beer bottle.
What's it called?
It's called The Shack.
Okay.
And it's at Mystery Chambers in Elk River, and it was a hoot.
Hey, since we have a couple of minutes before we go to the next break, before we get Jim Krennic to talk about coyote hunting,
yes.
Did you do any fishing this week?
You know, I did a little bit, scavenged around a little bit, did a little bit of pan fishing. I would say the bite is really good right now. I'd say the weeds, you know, what I call the cabbage, I'd say they're starting to die down a little bit. But if you can find some cabbage or some weeds that are still fairly alive, that's where those panfish like to hang out. And if you have panfish, which is a forage base for the predator fish, you're going to find predator fish right on the outskirts of it.
You know, from what I understand is that the fishing, ice fishing, as it gets closer to, you know, January and February kind of slows down, whatever. Then again, you have a March, and things change a little bit.
Yep.
You have fishing gets better again. But this year it seems to be more consistent based on the comments we're getting from other fishermen. All kinds of it's been more consistent this year than I think it's been in a long, long time based on what we're hearing, right?
Yeah, I would say this year and years past, it's been a lot more consistent. We've had a lot stronger bite across the great state here and in North Dakota. So we just hope that theme continues to carry on, my friend.
Every day's a gift. We'll be right back with Jim Krennic talking about coyote hunting on the Four Outdoorsmen.
The Four Outdoorsmen. Just average guys that love to hunt and fish and chew the fat on Bob Outdoors.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
The Minnesota Weapons Collectors Association has been promoting responsible firearms ownership since 1954. Don't miss the Minnesota Weapons Collectors Association Gun Show at the Rochester Mayo Civic Center January 19th and 20th. 200 tables, 60 vendors. Buy, sell, or trade firearms, accessories, and collectibles. Admission is $5, 12 and under free. Under 18 must be with a parent or responsible adult. For more information, visit MWCA.org. That's MWCA.org.
Boomer here, and happy Sunday to the land of 10,000 lakes. And if you're out there ice fishing, don't forget to grab your Vexilar. Vexilar Marine Electronics have been around for 50-plus years, and they've been the leader ever since they started. When we were out there on walleye wars, chasing those big walleyes all over Devil's Lake, I never charged my Vexilar in 3 days, and we are fishing 12 hours a day. And don't forget about the K-Drill. With an 18-volt brushless cordless drill, it's less than 10 pounds, and a battery can get you 400 inches of ice. To learn more about Vexilar, go to Vexilar.com.
Hi, this is Steve Cruikshank with Fishing for Life, and our upcoming fishing tournament is called Holes for Heroes. It's Saturday, February 2nd from 1 to 4 on Medicine Lake, presented by Timber Ghost Realty. With over $5,000 in prizes and giveaways, it's going to be a great day on the ice. There's free entry for all veterans and their immediate families, and for non-veterans, it's just $10 if you register today, or $15 the day of. Register today at fishingforlife.org. That's fishingforlife.org.
Hey, me again, your radio. Today we are testing speaker separation, and to help out, I've borrowed Fluffy, the boss's cat. So let's start with Fluffy in your left channel. And now, Fluffy in your right channel. Oh, the apple does not fall far from the tree. Apparently, Fluffy has a little attitude, much like the boss. We call that catitude. So it seems everything on your radio is working just fine, but let's talk about your business. How's that working out for you? If you're ready to take profits to the next level, you should consider radio. Radio is not only a great way to reach new customers, but it's a proven way to help generate return business. And radio has the best ROI of any media. Your ad dollars work harder with me. That's why radio delivers results. No cats were physically harmed in the making of this commercial. Fluffy's ego, maybe a little bit.
Hi, this is Brad Clark, General Sales Manager at Bob FM. Call me at 763-412-4643 or go to radioadvertisingminnesota.com.
Total Country Bob FM.
Welcome back to the Four Outdoorsmen. I'm Bob Country. Happy Sunday evening to the land of 10,000 lakes. Boomer here. Producer Mark is to my left. And Strewman went out to do a little gabbing. He actually, for the first time, I think, in 5 years of doing radio with Strewman, he spilled his beverage on his notes. And if you don't know how important notes are to Strew, in 5+ years, he's always had 3+ pages of notes. Strew,
what?
How can you even read what is on that piece of loose leaf paper?
It's going to be very, very difficult. But, you know, I do everything ad-libbing because I'm the DNR Commissioner Sarah. Here she is, Sarah Strom. I got here. Barb Keller, DNR. No, I've got everything written down here. So,
hey, we got a guest coming on, don't we, Strew?
We do.
And who's our guest?
Jim Krennic is a coyote guy.
A coyote
he's
guy?
He's a rookie coyote guy.
He is he
coyote.
A flying coyote
no,
guy?
No, he's not. He's not.
But is he a firefighting coyote guy?
We'll figure it out. Hey, Jim, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Very well. I'll tell you what. We know you're the butcher down there in the Montgomery, Minnesota area and all, but you just started doing something recently, if I'm correct. Not more than a couple of months. You just started coyote hunting, right?
I've been doing coyote hunting for years. I've been doing it for many, many years, and that's my entertainment after I get out of the shop here. I do entertainment for outdoors.
That's your therapy. Right. Go ahead,
Jim. Boy. What do you love, Boomer here, what do you love so much about coyote hunting?
The outdoors. You get out there. You see the animals. I just love to try, you know, the clean out, the best thing is just try to get rid of the coyotes. What else actually takes out the coyotes?
You know, I've only been coyoting a handful of times, Jim, and the last time was down in Mississippi at my buddy's ranch, and I tell these guys a story because he said, we're going to go hunt the graveyard, Boomer. So I was like, all right, this will be great. And he actually took me to a tombstone, and we were hunting behind a tombstone on their property. So it was kind of freaking me out. Yeah, it was great cover. And it was really scary because when you hear the call of a dead rabbit, it'll put goosebumps on the back of your necks. And then couple that with being in a graveyard, Strew Man, it's pretty darn scary. But, Jim, for folks that haven't coyote hunted before, walk us through on the Four Outdoors and on Bob Country, what is the process of coyote hunting? What is the gear and all that good stuff?
Main thing is if you can have snow, it's going to help you out a lot because you can see them over a terrain area so when they're sneaking in. The other thing is if it's crunchy, we usually do the theory that if it's windier than 12 miles an hour, it's hard to actually hear, get your sound out there. Under 12 miles an hour, if your temperature's too cold, it's really crunchy, so you have to be completely quiet sneaking out to a zone that you want to hunt. Get out to that zone. You want to be that because they can hear, 12 times better than we can? So I always torment my dog at home. Because what I do is I got a collar, and I try to find out the best sounds that really gets my dog to really listen to hear it.
That's a good idea.
And his wife hates it. And you put it in the garage, and you sit in the garage, and you sit inside the house, and you get it. I got a remote. You could do collars with a mouthpiece, but when that coyote comes in, it knows exactly what tree you're at. So you have to get that. We do this theory of me and another guy, when we do it always, wind, collar, then you. So you have to have your wind is coming in, then the collar, then you, because that coyote's going to use all three senses. His nose, first he's going to hear you, so he's going to come in. Then he's going to use his eyes. So if you have a visual of something that moves on that collar, he's going to zone in on that. Now he's going to use his nose, so he's going to go downwind. So when he goes downwind, he's normally going to come up. When you do about 30 paces from your collar, he's going to come right to you. Many of times I've had this happen. Many times you go out and you know you busted it because it's too noisy, or they don't want to come in. They're slide. There's last weekend they had a good article in the Outdoor News about using the sounds of a blue jay, and I've been using that for a while. And you use a blue jay, and you'll get every blue jay and downy woodpeckers coming into your collar. Then you use a crow on top of that. When you get a crow coming in, now you get these crows. And if you ever crow hunted, I love crow hunting too during the open season. That you get a crow in, they come in, they want to investigate. Well, it makes them to the coyote that it's safe. If there's a crow around, there's not a person around there. That's a safe zone, so they want to say, hey, I think it's all right. I'm going to go check out what that squealing blue jay is, or what is it? And then you change it over to a rabbit. Mouthpieces work good for the person that are just getting into it, but you're going to have best if you have a couple guys all the time, which is more noise when you're walking in. Yesterday we did a set with a guy, buddy of mine, Scott. We walked in, thank God, it's so crunchy. It was yesterday morning, 23 degrees with an 8-mile-an-hour east wind. We went, okay, I've got a map to when I do my hunting. I go, okay, I look at this again. We got east wind in the morning. I'm going to figure out what places I'm going to hunt. As I'm drinking my coffee, we're going to do this one. This one we haven't done for a while. Walk in, get to your spot. Everything's quiet. You figure out your sound volume. You get them, and here he came in. It was coming into Scott's. On his side, and we use ARs because sometimes it's a distance shot and stuff like that, and he got him, and right there, it was just an adrenaline thing, you know, and we've gotten a few of them, and then I also hunt with some guys, and during the day, we've been doing this for 12 years with another group from different guys from the area. We're literally, and I'm not kidding you, we're over 800 coyotes.
Wow, good, Mark.
Hey, Jim, you use a .223 AR-15. I thought there was absolutely no use for those rifles, right, according to the politicians? You mean you use it for hunting? I can't believe it. Oh, I had a question. So it's kind of been consensus that the coyote population has kind of exploded over the last couple of years. Is that something you've noticed? Are the populations getting bigger, especially down south there?
There's a lot of them around here. I mean, in the evenings, at 7 o'clock, usually about in the evenings, if you're to be out on a calm day, they're going to start doing howls. Their areas. They're going to say, hey, I'm over here. I'm over here. And they're kind of like marking their territory where they're at. So when we got a bunch of them this weekend, we got a bunch of them. They're going to start coming back into those zones, and they're going to say, hey, nobody actually responded back. They're going to start breeding coming up here within the next month. Pretty close here. I mean, within 3 weeks or so, they're going to start breeding. So they're going to be out during the days. Now they're only out during the nights they only come out. But then when they start getting the breeding season, they start traveling a little bit more, and they're going to be in pairs and stuff like that. That's when we do it during the day. When I do in the morning hunts of calling them in and that, I try to locate them to figure out. I actually text out to all my neighbors, say, hey, if you hear them, tell me. We're going to try to see what we can do. And we've gotten, you know, my neighbors are also my customers. We've gotten a good relationship. And you still have the person that's, we had it. Somebody called in a sheriff today saying that something didn't look right. I mean, and there we got a bunch of vehicles on the road, and sure enough, here comes the sheriff. But we're out of there before then, and he just has to, it was no big deal.
Well, why would the sheriff get involved? I don't think there's not a season for coyotes, right? It's open 12 months out of the year. You just have to have a small game license, right?
You don't even have to have that. It's an unprotected animal. You don't even have to have a small game license for this, for coyotes.
So why would the sheriff get involved?
Anytime somebody sees something strange, with our group, we always say, if you don't get so many vehicles in this one area, if you're in a strange area that we're hunting on the highway or on a gravel road, let's try not to get 3-4 cars parked because somebody looks at it and says, I don't know what's going on. They call the sheriff.
There you go.
And when we do have vehicles that have coyotes on the top of them, and it doesn't look, you know, some people say, good job. And some people go, oh, that poor little
Yeah, I understand that. Good, Mark. Mark's got a question.
Hey, Jim, being a butcher yourself, have you ever snuck any coyote meat in any sausage or anything and gave it a try?
You know what's a comment that I always say?
What?
What do you want me to do with your coyote? I got one off your property. How much blown do you want?
Yeah, there you go.
Have you ever eaten it, or can you?
No, absolutely not. They got a thing to them of their own, and we just, and first of all, when you out of a section, you don't want to even have a rope on them. You put a rope on them. You don't even grab them because they got fleas.
Oh, okay.
So you have a tow rope. Everybody carries this little rope thing. You put around and you drag them out because if you were to grab, one time I remember I did that. What are you doing that for? They said when I got to the road. You don't grab them by the tail. What is that crawling on my hand? Oh, okay. You got the rope. Let them. Then you skin them out. Try to get money for the hides. It's just entertainment and exercise.
You know, Jim, it's interesting, Boomer, here, that you talk about a confidence decoy because it reminded me of learning duck hunting down in Mississippi and Missouri, that some of the folks I would hunt with on these duck hunting properties, they would use cranes or egrets because they called that a confidence decoy for ducks, because if a duck saw a crane, which is not really friendly with people, that it would bring them in. When you're using these confidence decoys with coyotes, do you notice a difference on how much closer they get to you? Because I know coyote hunting, you know, you can be shooting out there 300 yards plus. Do you notice they come in a little closer with a confidence decoy?
Most of the time when you go into an area, you don't want to go down into a valley because that sound of that crunching snow is going to give you away. You're wanting them to come over a hill. Many of times a shotgun would have been just perfect. You didn't need the AR. We usually have one with a shotgun and one with an AR. I just, a lot of times when I take the shotgun, it ends up being too far away and didn't get them down. You know, I know I hit them, but I didn't get them. And then when I take the AR, they come in so close. I went, God, I can't find them, my scope.
Murphy's
you know,
law.
So you mount a red dot on the side of it and you give it a quarter turn and you can hit them in a closer range and shoot them from there. I even document it. I love it because I just look back. I put it on a camera. I start my Technicam, start it up right before when I see them coming in, turn the Technicam on, and then it buzzes, and you're kind of like, all right, I got a document. I'm not lying.
Yeah, that's cool. Go ahead, Boom.
You know, Jim, when I think about, you know, bringing in coyotes and whatnot, I've seen a lot of different type of presentations. I've seen it before where they had some kind of dang rabbit decoy where it was like a wire, and it was a piece of like a rabbit, I don't know, a tail, like, or, you know, flopping around and spinning in a circle, and then these electronic calls that can do like over 200 sounds. Do you use that type of equipment?
I do. Over the years, electronic in the billfold is makes everybody spend a lot of money. And cell phones and all that. I've gotten over the years 3 or 4 different kinds. Mouthpieces do work, but you got to get that thing away from you. You're not going to be able. He comes in, and he knows exactly where that sound come from. You have to. I do. I like the Fox Prairie Blaster, and they come out with the TX-1000. It's very, I'm starting to, as I get older, I have a hard time seeing with my eyes, you know, so I have to have a screen that looks bigger. The TX-1000 is really good because you can do Fox Fade and you can blend in. So I started doing the Blue Jay thing because it brings in other birds. So then when you get a crow, it's just airborne, and you'll get hawks come in. Today I had the same thing. I had 3 or 4 hawks that come in. That means a hawk's got a good eyes and everything. So when that coyote comes over a little knoll, he's looking right where that sound come from, and now he's looking at that visual moving, which is a wire that goes right into it, and it moves nice, and it makes him look at it. But he's not looking to the side to say, that's you. But I do have a video where it shows the coyote turn, looks at me, moves to the left like 3 feet and to the right left feet, and you could tell he's trying to determine distance, and he's going, you weren't there before. It's just like if somebody put a beer cap in your living room. You're going to know that wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
And you're in his living room.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Jim, you know, I think, is night hunting allowable in the state of Minnesota? And if so, have you ever done it?
Night hunting is you have to have a full moon. Full moon's coming up in, what, 2 weeks right now? We got a quarter moon as I'm looking at it right now. It's tough. It's really hard on the eyes because you have to have all snow. Right now, with no snow, night hunting is really going to be tough. I don't know enough about the light. I think light, using of a casting of a light, you have to be 200 feet from the road, only a shotgun, and I think that's some of the rules of, I don't even know completely what spotlight. I was going to look into more of that, but it's, a night hunting goes, it's like, takes forever for the night to go, but it's so slow. It's like you can't determine time on it. And I like doing it. I've done it when I was younger, but I don't, not as much lately because we haven't had the snow. So we got more into like the right in the early morning or right in the sunset, you'll call them out.
You've been doing this for so long, then, and based on what you're telling us, man, you know what the hell you're talking about. Hey, do you get skunked these days, or do you get a coyote almost every time you go out?
Nope, you never. They used to say one out of every 8 sets you should be able to get one. I've been getting it down to I'm getting about 1 out of 3. And it works better if you have 2 because 4 sets of eyes out there compared to 1. And I'm looking at my TX-1000, I'm looking at it, and I've already, where I looked up, went, oh, there he is already. Now it's... So when you have another set of eyes, and sometimes the other guy's got better eyes than I do, you know, you got to scan 360 to see if he's going to come behind you over a hill or whatever. So you're coming to a slough or where they're going to be sleeping at or where they're at and all that. So it's normally 1 out of 8 if you've got practice. And I've got it down to I can do about 1 out of 3.
Well, that's something.
Well, Jim, we like to have a lot of fun here on the 4 Outdoorsmen. Oh, yeah. Have you ever had a coyote sneak up on you where it got, you know, within 5-10 yards of you and you didn't know it?
Never, he would never go that because his eyes are so good that he'd see you before then. I've had it. Last weekend I did a set. Got to the place, set my collar out, moved to my offset, you know, so that they don't. And I started my collar, and on that collar it's got a timer. And in 4 minutes I had 3 of them come running in, and it would have again. I wish I had the shotgun. How can you get a coyote with a in a scope that fast? You know, I took the first one out, and I was trying to get the second one out. And here to find out there was another one that was using the wind to save himself behind me. I had 3 of them when 4 minutes come in. That's an adrenaline rush.
They're such a pain in the butt predator. I can't believe anybody down there would be upset with you going out and taking these things out.
No, you just got to remember, okay, the person drove by, and it was a gal, Lincoln, and I'm giving more information, or whatever, and I knew the way she drove by and the way the other person said the way she looked at us, plus, I had 2 coyotes on the roof of my car.
But they looked like puppies.
Yeah.
They were puppies. Yeah, they're laying flat on there. Yeah, you got a rack on there, you throw them on top of there. Some people, they frown on that, but idiots.
Hey, Jim, do you actually sell the pelts then?
Yes, we try to get whatever we can for them just for putting money towards. When we do it during the day, we've got dogs that we use.
You know? Okay.
So we look, check a section out, the neighbors tell me, and we try to push them out, and we let the dog, because they will, in a cattail slough, we had 2 of them in the back of my place, 3 of them back at my place, they will, if you were to walk yourself, and if it wasn't for dogs, they would stand still 20 feet away from you and know that you wouldn't pick them out. With a dog, they're using their nose, and they push them out. And some people just don't believe that that's right, you know, and it's just a sport that's no different than coon hunting.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Jim, we're going to let you go. You got a question?
No, I was just going to say, Jim, one heck of an interview. You got some passion for coyote hunting. Thanks for joining us on the 4 Outdoorsmen tonight.
Sit it right out. How do I relax myself? I just go out there and sit out in the woods. Get outdoors.
Good for you. Get outdoors. That's Boomer's name, boy. Get outdoors. Jim Krennic, Montgomery, Minnesota. Thanks a lot, boy. Keep on. Send me some pictures, will you? And we'll post them on the 4 Outdoorsmen website. And
Facebook.
If you got any videos, we love those as well.
Sure.
Take care, buddy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yep. Boy. This kid is hot.
Boy, that guy likes to shoot some coyotes, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, thanks, everybody. Going to bail out here. Stu Man Boomer, Mark Lukey. We'll see you next week. And in the meantime, Boomer's got something to say.
Get outdoors.